You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 170. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who triple-checked me because he could, and that's the only reason I can imagine.
I'm the tech guy.
To make sure the mic is on. You know I'm going to make sure this mic is on.
It's my job.
Everybody has to make sure they can hear me. I'll make sure this mic is on.
I can't. I have the power to mute you, you know.
I know. I've got to be careful. the power of my ability to speak could probably overpower a mute button, though. I don't know. I'm kind of a talker. I don't know if anybody's figured that out yet. Hi, if you're new, it's like this all the time. Okay, so this week we are talking about anger in DS relationships. Content warning, we have no intention of talking about or focusing on abuse and anger, either at abusers or from abusers. But because anger is such an all-encompassing topic, we could dive into that. We could make mention. We don't know because we do the intro before we do the actual episode. So if you are not in that headspace right now, skip this one. Come back to it later. But we are talking about anger. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I will continue to fucking hate for the rest of my life. I will forever and always hate this handle.
Talk about anger.
Yeah, no. I'm not mad about it. I just hate it. Our Instagram handle is LovingDS and the number one, so LovingDS1. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Thursday. All links are in the show notes.
Just let it go. Be one with the handle.
I can acknowledge my anger and not act on it. We will talk about that later. Thank you very much. And it's not anger. It's mostly disgust and eye rolling and all kinds of other thoughts. As always, a big, huge, wonderful thank you to our kinky patrons on Patreon. We could not do this without you. We have seen new people show up. Yay for that. If you are interested in supporting this work that we do, helping us do more of it, you can become a kinky patron on Patreon for as low as $1 a month. Patreon.com/KaylaLords. And every month, on the third Saturday of the month, in April 2019, that will be April 20th, we do a live Q&A where it's sort of an ask us anything. And that's only for kinky patrons. So patreon.com/KaylaLords. Okay, so I do have a couple of announcements.
Yay for announcements.
I know. One, you can see us if you are watching us on YouTube. We're watching our new... Well, no, we're not watching
we're
our
wearing.
New... We're
wearing...
It was a W word. We're wearing our new kink shirt.
Well, technically we are watching because we can see the live stream.
We can see each other. Yes. Yeah. I know, but I was...
But we're wearing...
We're wearing. Yeah. Yes. And last week we talked about the designer of these shirts, Ignixia. This is the other set we bought. Mm-hmm. If you cannot see, it says kink bruises are good bruises.
Yep.
That is correct from our perspective. Not everybody's...
Consensually.
Right. Not everybody's into pain. Not everybody's into bruises. We are. So this is a wonderful shirt, and we love her. And after the live stream part of this, so if you are listening on the podcast or if you're watching later, there will be a link. So if you want to go check out her t-shirt shop, we are not
cool
sponsored.
Stuff.
We just loved them. I bought them. We're wearing them.
You like?
We're plugging her because she's a kinkster. Yeah. And we, I think I've confirmed it officially. Once we get moved and we change what dungeon we go to, we will be part of the same dungeon.
Yeah.
She lives in this, not in the area where we're moving, but goes to that same dungeon and is a volunteer there and an educator. And so
all kinds of good stuff.
All kinds of good stuff. Can't wait to actually meet her in person.
Yep.
So that's the first thing. And then the second thing, and podcast listeners, if you follow us on social media, you'll get to see these shirts. We'll take a selfie, put it up there for you. Okay, so the second announcement is, and I've been talking about it on Twitter mostly and on the blog, so if you follow us at lovingbdsm.net, you already know this. So many people might not know we do this thing called 30 Days of DS. We started it, I think it's 2017.
It's
might be early 2018, but it's been a couple years.
Yeah.
And it is a free email program where every single day for 30 days you get an email about a topic about DS to either think about on your own, talk about with your partner, talk about at your local munch. I had somebody ask, they were like, can I use these topics at our munch? Yes, please go for it. And we included, because I'm a blogger and that's where I started, sort of a little line that said, hey, if you're a blogger, feel free to use these as blog prompts. Or if you want to start a blog and you're not sure what to write about, use these as blog prompts. Well, mm-hmm. that's always been there. There have been a few people here and there who have, you know, and I said, email me your blog links so I can see and, you know, whatever. So a few people have done that. Well, then sort of all at once, at the beginning of April, mm-hmm. bloggers who are friends, bloggy friends of mine, went, hey, this is a thing, signed up for it, started tweeting about it, and next thing I know, we were inundated with people who wanted to do the program, which was awesome. Right. But it also gave me an idea, because there were all these blogs, I could not possibly keep up with them all.
Light bulb.
I know. So what we've done for 30 Days of DS is we've created a page on lovingbdsm.net mm-hmm. where if you are a blogger blogging using those 30 Days of DS prompts as blog post topics, you can link mm-hmm. your blog there so other people can see it. If you are not a blogger, that's fine. This is not like you have to become a blogger to do 30 Days of DS. No. But if you are looking for more people to follow and more people who are living a DS lifestyle or doing things in BDSM or exploring some of the same things you are, and you want to expand your online kinky community, this might be a page and a place to go check out different blogs and see who's writing what and whether you like their writing style, you like how they think about kink, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just another resource for both bloggers and readers. So 30 Days of DS is free for anybody who wants to join at any mm-hmm. point. You don't, like I said, you don't have to be a blogger. We've had it forever. We don't talk about it too much anymore, which is probably mm-hmm. a problem. We should probably talk about it more often. And we do offer a workbook if you're like, I do not want 30 freaking emails. I get it. I totally get it. We do have a PDF workbook, but that does cost money. So we have the free if you're willing to mm-hmm. give up your email address, which we do not spam you. We do not use it to like send you about, you know, information about your Nigerian uncle who's leaving you $10 million. Like, we don't do that.
No.
But you can purchase a PDF if you'd rather just skip the email part.
One and done.
Right. So 30 Days of DS, lovingbdsm.net has all the information, has the program itself, has mm-hmm. The workbook, has the sign up, has the page for bloggers to link to and for readers to find new bloggers to follow. Okay. I wonder if it'll quiet down at any point and I won't have announcements to make.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. Well,
that's wishful thinking.
We had to start out kind of lighthearted because anger is a heavy topic.
Yeah.
And I'm hopefully we can keep this helpful and not too heavy. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. So this idea that I had came from a couple things in our personal life.
Yes.
One was an argument that John Brownstone and I had. And the other,
go figure.
I know. And the other was our family drama from a couple weeks ago. If you have heard that episode or watched that mm-hmm. video, where we talked about what happened when we got back from London. And I was talking to my therapist and I was like, why am I not angrier about this? Shouldn't I be like freaking out? And so there was a nice little conversation about anger there. So anger is, one, not new to humans, humans in DS. It's an emotion that happens. The way my therapist sort of has explained it to me, he's like, anger is neither good nor bad. It is an emotion, but it is an emotion, not an action. So sometimes we act on anger.
Right.
And that's where the problems really lie. It's not that you necessarily mm-hmm. felt anger. It's the action. So we'll get into a little bit of that. We are not therapists. Yeah. We are not here to give you advice to help deal with any of your anger issues, whether on the receiving end or if you yourself are a very angry person. I am a huge proponent of mental health services mm-hmm. like therapy that would help you. But we have talked about in different ways. We've sort of talked about anger in the past. So we've talked about it when talking about arguments and disagreements, because that's right. where anger will usually mm-hmm. come up. I know we've talked a little bit about it in the episode on discipline and punishments.
Correct.
Because one of the things you and I very firmly believe is that you do not punish or discipline in anger in
no,
a DS relationship.
Never.
And I think in some really vague ways, we might have mentioned it when we talked about like sadism and masochism and even the spanking episode, because spanking, we dived a little bit into punishment. Spanking is punishment. Mm-hmm. And then sadism and masochism, we might have kind of touched on it because some people think sadists are very angry people. Quite frankly, they're all laughing their asses off from what I can tell. Every sadist I meet just sort of sits back. Yeah, that laugh right there. That's the laugh. They don't seem very angry to me. So this is... We will probably touch on a lot of those topics about disagreements and sure. punishment and discipline and all that stuff. But this is really a little bit from observation and some things that I have seen just as somebody who gets a lot of messages mm-hmm. from strangers on the internet. So my thinking, I'm going to start with the overall thing. So my thinking is there's a lot about anger. There's a lot about strong emotion, negative mm-hmm. emotion that could be said. But in terms of DS... These are my starting thoughts. We will figure this out as okay. we go. So my starting thought is, one, based on the umpteen messages I get from submissives, these messages tend to come from very new submissives, and they mm-hmm. are usually in the throes of sub-frenzy, which anybody Yikes. Who's gone through it and looked back and went, oh yeah, that was sub-frenzy, you know, you basically lost your mind for a little bit, right? Many of these messages will come to me, and they will be like, oh, here's this list of all this crappy behavior that this person calling themselves a dom has done, or things they have said, or behaviors, or actions. Blah, blah, blah. And I know I shouldn't be mad about it. Yeah, you should be mad about it. Holy hell, if somebody's lying to you and breaking their promises and ghosting you and treating you like crap and telling you that you have one set of rules and they have mm-hmm. another, y'all, be mad. Get angry. Hell yeah, get angry. So my first part, I'm already ranting. We're only a few minutes in.
Jesus, getting warmed up.
I know. From a submissive perspective, speaking as one lone submissive in the world, no, you get to be angry about things. It's not, and this is the thing that a very small conversation with a therapist, I am not a therapist, that I had, was that it's not about feeling the emotion necessarily. It's what you do later. So not allowing yourself to feel that emotion can be just as damaging
yeah.
as anything else. So yes.
Well, anger in and of itself, and I've said this before, it is a valid emotion.
Absolutely. It's neither good nor bad.
It's a valid feeling.
Right. It is a thing that exists.
It's how you act on that anger that makes exactly. the difference.
And what, from the submissive side of the slash, the thing I have seen a lot of lately, well, not even lately, for years, ever since I kind of started saying, yeah, sure, send me your questions, I'll see if I can help you, is that a lot of new submissives tend to think that they have to put up with really bad behavior because they're in the throes of sub-frenzy, because they have somehow convinced themselves or become convinced in some way that this person is the only person who will ever dominate them. Not true, not true, not true. And so they want to excuse bad behavior, or they'll say things like, I'm a bad submissive because I'm angry about this. No, you're not. Hell no, you're not. And the other side of that is those air quote doms who are not really dominant will tell you that you're a bad submissive because you got angry.
No.
The getting angry part does not make you a bad anything. The getting angry part means something triggered that emotion. Something happened that mm-hmm. you did not like and that made that emotion come out. Now, what you do next still doesn't necessarily make you a bad submissive because you act on your anger. And there's a lot we could probably say about behavior and what we do when we're angry, because there are positive ways and there are healthy ways to handle anger, and then there mm-hmm. are unhealthy ways to handle anger. And all of those ways are pretty much infinite. It's kind of on a spectrum. Like, my unhealthy way of dealing with anger was to just clam up and not say anything.
I would shut down.
And yeah. so then it would breed resentment, and I am a Scorpio bitch who forgets nothing. So... It could be two
I'm
years.
I'm so screwed.
Yeah, you are. It could be 2 years later, and I could make a scathing comment about a thing that pissed me off 2 years ago. Now, that's not good for anybody. What the hell's the point? All I've done is repress it, and now I'm bitter, and I'm just walking around angry, right? So on the submissive side, that's like mm-hmm. the big thing that I keep thinking about is that, no, it is okay for submissives to get angry, for things to anger you, for things to make you mad. Sometimes people do shitty things and the response is to be angry about it. On the other side, the thought I have about anger for dominance mm-hmm. is that because of the power dominants are given, the control that they are given, and the power they yield over another human being, y'all have to be extremely careful about your anger. Doesn't mean you can't get angry. Of course you can get angry. But you have to be, in my opinion, more cognizant of how you behave when you're angry.
Oh, yeah, because if you act rashly out of anger, you can do a lot of damage, not just to your relationship and your DS dynamic, but you can emotionally hurt someone as well.
Right. And you know, the fact is that's true regardless of what side of the slash you are.
Yeah.
If you react quickly and without thinking and just in the heat of the moment on your anger, without thinking it through and taking a moment to calm down, you could hurt your relationship. I don't care how you identify, you're going to hurt your relationship or have the potential to hurt your relationship. But from dominance, because you are given permission by this other person to do things that just those things alone could cause physical harm, if you make a mistake, adding anger to it and increasing the temperature on it, basically, you have just increased the chances that you will not only hurt your relationship, which anger can do for anybody, you could physically hurt the person that you are meant to be taking care of.
Right.
So understanding and thinking about anger is extremely important.
Oh, yeah.
Both sides. It's why one of the red flags that some of us sort of call some air quote dominance out for is not having control of their own emotions. And not that you were supposed to be a robot and never feel things, but you're not necessarily supposed to just lash out because you feel things.
Right.
And most of us shouldn't, but dominants have a different position, I think.
Yeah. It's human nature.
Sure.
You know, to want to do that. That's why, you know, when you're feeling anger, when you're, you know, jealousy is another good emotion to bring into that account, because they're both very strong, very primal.
Absolutely.
Emotions. So you kind of need to be able to recognize when they are coming into play.
And you need to know what it is you're actually feeling. Because sometimes we'll call something anger and it's really envy. It's really insecurity. It's a breach of trust. It's hurt. You know, we sometimes use really simple language to talk about very, very complex things. And so we say, or we even justify to ourselves, well, they made me mad, so I could do this thing. I could say this thing. I could lie to them. I could cheat. I could, whatever it might be. When what you were actually feeling, anger was part of it, but you were jealous, which we talked about this in a past episode. It's not usually, jealousy is not the great word for it. It's usually insecurity. Like,
true.
Or your trust was broken. Or you were lied to, or, you know, very rarely I would say is it as simple as I'm just mad. You're mad about something. And
what is the underlying cause of the emotion?
And what else are you actually feeling? That's hard to do in the moment. I'm not going to sit and tell anybody that we should all be able to pick apart exactly what we're feeling in the moment. I promise you, when we got back from London and I'm facing all of the stuff we faced personal drama wise, I knew there was fear, which I handled because that's when I talked to my mom and my aunt, and that was all that mattered. But then there was anger. And in the middle of it, I was not going, okay, now what am I actually feeling here? Is it anger? Is it betrayal? No, I was mad. Okay. I was definitely mad. But it was in the hours and the days after, when I removed myself from the situation and could sit and try to think calmly about it, that I could sort of start picking it apart and say, okay, this is how I feel, and that's how I feel, and that.
Yeah.
Because each emotion that you feel may very well have a different way to react to it to help you. You don't just necessarily get over things, but you move past them, right? Like, you try, the best thing to do, the healthiest thing to do, is to try not to hold on to the emotion. Don't forget, deal with the actions, make changes if you need to. And sometimes, you know, that's cutting somebody out of your life, but walking around holding on to all of that anger mostly hurts you more than it hurts anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're lashing out, and then you're hurting other people in your relationship.
Holding on to anger like that too, that is emotionally bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it, in some cases, for some people, it can even cause physical distress.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. High blood pressure, not sleeping well, headaches, like all kinds of stuff. So when you're holding on to that kind of anger and you're not either dealing with the source of the anger, like DS is an example, your partner lied to you, betrayed you, and did not follow the agreement you had, like lack of consent or something, right? Like, pick a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
If you're angry about that, That, to me, is a very natural response to it. But if you never talk about it, never deal with it, never really think about it, and you just walk around angry and do that thing that many of us do where we go, I'm not angry anymore, it's fine, I'm just going to push it down, it's not here, I'm going to swallow it down, I'm going to pretend it doesn't exist. The one of the many, many things I've learned over the past few years of dealing with this stuff in my head is that when you repress something like that, when you put, it's coming out somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's coming out somewhere else. It might come out later in your relationship when your partner thinks everything's good and you're over there going, it's not good. You fucked up a year ago. I'm still mad about it now. And oh, it's coming out now. We got to deal with it. Or it's going to come out in other relationships you're having where they're, it's small things that on their own wouldn't make you angry, wouldn't make you get upset with somebody, but because you're dealing with something else over here that you've repressed, it's coming out over here. And so not dealing with our anger can lead to all kinds of problems, and it's usually most damaging to us because we're the ones holding on to the anger. So anger is neither bad nor good. We said that at the top, but it's the actions or lack of actions and the choices we make about what we do about it that can lead to good outcomes, bad outcomes. So give you the personal examples that I even that just started this topic is where I came from. So the first one, John Brownstone's going to say it doesn't make him look good. It just makes him look human is what it is. Had nothing to do with our DS, actually.
Yeah.
We were in a massive, massive family. I don't even know. It wasn't a fight. Nobody was fighting, but there was struggle and strife.
There was a lot of discord.
Between two adults and a teenager. And anybody with teenagers or has raised teenagers knows what I'm talking about. That moment where you're like, yeah, I know why wild animals eat their young. I totally get it. Yes, 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 I'm here for this. So tempers were high. Everybody was angry. Everybody was angry for different reasons. I'm not an impartial third party to this. This is my husband and my child, like, butting freaking heads. Oh, my gosh.
Not my proudest moment.
Nobody's proudest moment. But as upset as I was in it, I could step back a little bit and go, wow, they're both right and they're both wrong at the same time. Isn't this fun and complicated? But the way people were behaving, people who were the adults, named John Brownstone, was not their best selves. And they were being led by anger. So in a moment where it was just a quiet moment. And you've ever had like those family arguments where finally everybody goes to their own corner, or it's a day later and you're still mad about it. You haven't really resolved it. You're in it, but you're not actively in it. Nobody's yelling at one another. John Brownstone is pacing this living room back and forth. I mean, like a caged tiger. He is pacing and I'm talking to him, and I'm, from an outsider's perspective, probably did not at all sound submissive. I was bringing down the hammer a little bit, because what I pointed out to him was, when he is angry with me, as his, I'm always his submissive in whatever other role we have going on at the time. I am always the little S in this relationship. And he would never come at me with that level of anger that he did with a teenager who pushed every fucking button we have. They do that. I know. It's almost funny now. It's not really funny. It was a lot of buttons pushed. But I called him out on it. Not around the kids. That's just the two of us. I said, you would never talk to me or be angry with me in the way you were with the kid. I said, what you would do if it was me making you that angry, you'd go, we are not talking about this right now. I am taking a break. And you would leave the room. You would not have a conversation with me until you calm down. Why are you not doing this here?
Yeah, with you and I, we even have a specific safe word in place when things get too intense.
Yes, yes.
Okay, but you later on, after we talked about it, you brought up a very interesting point, and it kind of hit me like a hammer right between the eyes. Because of some past experiences that I've had.
He's got bad tapes that aren't just related, like marriage or partner stuff. Bad tapes.
And I was triggered.
Yeah, I saw it in
and
your
I,
eyes.
I
it
did
freaked
not,
me
I,
out.
I did not kept pick up on that, but you picked up on it immediately.
Yes.
Later when you said that to me, it was like, shit, I was.
Oh, yeah, you were. I don't know. I mean, anger actually triggers me too. We will talk about that a little bit more. I'll talk about it from my perspective too. I could see it, and it it upset me, not in the, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever, but in the, there's my daddy having an issue. And so because I'm a bossy bitch from hell, and I know I am, and it's fine, I stepped up because you weren't thinking rationally. And
no.
You were on the verge of starting to take your anger out on me, yelling, y'all, nothing beyond yelling. And I was like, oh, I'm not having this, okay? Life is stressful enough in general. We have to deal with teenagers for at least the next 10 years based on the age of the youngest. We cannot be eating each other alive at 13. Okay? We've got a long way to go. But we also have, and we've talked about this long, long time ago, we have the tough love clause. And it's usually reserved for, is he got a cold and he's not taking care of himself, does he need to go to the doctor? But when his mental health is affected, and that trigger was it, he was not himself, y'all. The calm, cool, collected John Brownstone, all of y'all know, no.
Flew out the window at that point.
No, this was not the same person. And even I kind of went, who is this?
Yeah.
So away from the strife and away from children, I confronted him on it in a way that I knew I could.
Yeah.
So that's about knowing your partner. Some, you know, when you're new in a relationship, you don't always know how you can approach them about stuff, and you might have to be gentler and calmer.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together long enough now. I just jumped in with both feet and went, what the fuck? Okay, you have been triggered. You were treating this kid like that kid from 20 years ago, and we've got to deal with it. And so I wasn't sure I was getting through to you. It did make me a little nervous. And then I saw how your attitude towards the kid changed, and you softened a little bit, and they're fine now. They're better until the next blow up, because teenagers. So
can't we just fast forward through all this?
I know, right?
18, boop.
No, not even. Give me like 22, 23. I think I was finally nice to my mom again when I was in my early 20s. I think that's when it happened. So that was the first thing that got me thinking about anger, because in that scenario, he, in my opinion, does the exact right thing as part of our DS relationship when he's angry. I don't like it because I want a quick resolution, and my anxiety spikes and is triggered by anger. So when he gets angry with me, or angry at a situation, it might not be even with me, and says, I cannot talk about this right now. I need to be left alone. We will talk about this when I have calmed down. That's actually very hard for me. And it's very troubling because of all the other stuff I've got going on, I want to fix it. I want him to not be unhappy with me. I don't want him to be angry. Anger, when I was a kid, usually meant that it could only get worse from there. And so I'm very self-protective about how I approach other people's anger. I basically do everything I can to avoid it all of the time. And it's only been in my two marriages where I went, fuck that shit, bring your damn anger on. The first time was because I apparently didn't really like him, but it's the same type of reaction, different reasons. But with every other relationship I have in my life, I will do anything to avoid somebody else's anger, or typically. So that was a moment where I could see what you do well in DS.
Mm-hmm.
Take the time, calm down, wait until you can be rational, even though you might still be angry. You can be rational in your thinking and your actions to deal with the problem, which is probably the top tip I have for anybody out there when you're angry. Take that moment to take a breath. Just understand you're not going to fix this if everybody's screaming at one another. You're going to have to calm down first. And I put it back on you and went, whoa, 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 if you'll do that to me in this situation, why can't you apply that to other parts of your life? So flip that. If you're fairly okay with dealing with anger in every other part of your life, and somehow it's this DS relationship where you are losing your shit, see where the parallels are and see how you can pull from your vanilla life and make it work in
there.
In your DS relationship to deal with anger as calmly as you can. And you know what? From things I observe, I think a lot of people think that saying that you are now calm about a thing that made you angry means you're not angry anymore. Nah, it just means you're calm and you're willing to maybe listen to the other person, where in the heat of the moment when you're really mad, when it first started, you didn't even have the capacity to listen to them. And you're willing to speak about it in full sentences without using motherfucker every other word like I do when I do get mad. I don't get mad very often when I do.
She starts dropping that look out.
Ooh, that's when it's like, we cannot talk about this because I am irrational. We're going to have to wait until I've taken a few breaths. The other reason that this came up, and it was, I'm kind of proud of myself. My therapist knows I like verbal gold stars, so mm-hmm. he's been sprinkling them around from time to time. I was telling about the family drama, and I'm like, here's what I went through, and here's how I felt. And he said, oh, okay. You know, he's not offering mm-hmm. any insight. He's not asking probing questions to get me to think. Like, he's not doing the therapist thing. He's just listening and nodding and saying, okay. And finally I went, why the hell am I not angry? Or why the hell am I, like, what is something wrong with me? Because I am really calm about it now. So that's when he gave me the verbal gold star about how, well, based on what you've told me, you did this, you did that, you did this. You're thinking about this, that, and the other. He's like, you're handling it. He said, the actions you're taking are to handle the underlying problem, mm-hmm. and you're not holding on to the anger for yourself or to use as a cudgel against anybody else. That's actually a healthy way to handle it. And I went, am I handling anger in a healthy way? I need to write Look this down on the calendar, because right. here's what'll happen. The next time I get angry, I probably won't, because this is new to me. My way of handling anger is to shut down, is to swallow it down, is to act like it doesn't matter until it pops back out of me mm-hmm. 6 months later. So, you know, there are healthy ways to handle anger and to still be angry. I promise you, if I had to have a face-to-face conversation with the person who most recently made me angry, I would feel anger. But what I wouldn't do, I wouldn't call names. I don't think I would. I would in my head, but you're supposed to have a spot in the world where you can just be your unfiltered self. My head is it for me. I would be very, very leery of that person, very wary around them. There's no trust at all. I would expect the worst. Of course I would, but I would not act on that expectation. And that is really hard. And I say that as an anxious person whose whole life has been spent expecting the worst. So I am very used to trying to preemptively fix a thing or mm-hmm. preemptively avoid a problem by expecting the worst and acting on that expectation. Pro tip, that usually makes everything worse, frankly. Sitting back and calmly letting things quiet down a little bit and then talking about them and communicating and trying to be rational, even if you're still angry, and say your piece and do what you need to do for yourself. Those are all very new skills to me. I'm not great at them yet. And they're difficult. They're very, very difficult. And if you are a person out there who finds that that's not something you can do on your own, and that you do get irrationally angry and you do hold on to it for a long time and you don't know how to let go of those things, I think therapy is great for everything. And I don't think you have to have a diagnosis to have a therapist to talk to have some impartial third party who can help you look at things in different ways and figure out healthier ways to handle them. Mm-hmm. Anger is a massive one. So we said at the top in the content warning, didn't have the intention of talking about abuse, and I'm going to try not to get into too much because it will trigger me. But I want you to, some people don't necessarily understand what anger can do. And I am one of an infinite amount of examples of how anger can change you and make you a different person than you might have been. When I was a kid, my dad was very angry. He had right reasons to be angry. He was in chronic pain. He had suffered a broken neck and serious back problems. He was probably could have been classified as disabled from a government standpoint, but they never went that route. He had 14 back procedures in 3 years at one point. I'm one of the few people in my life who is not freaked out by a hospital. I spent too many of my formative years sitting in waiting rooms and going into hospital rooms to visit my dad, who had a lot of surgeries and procedures and blah, blah, blah. But he also had anger issues. We learned all about this. He died when I was 22. So we learned about a lot of this in his life after he died, where he'd been a foster child and he had faced a lot of discrimination. He was very obviously from the outside a Native American. He was not officially part of a tribe. Part of that was because he was a foster child in the government system in the 40s. So they were not really friendly to that kind of thing. Nobody was worried about his culture or heritage. So he had a hard life. And My childhood was pretty rough. We were poverty broke and life was hard. Well, when his emotions got high, it was anger. So not yelling, mostly. Threats of violence. I watched him threaten to beat somebody up one time. Not me, but somebody else. A stranger. That was weird. And he would fly off the handle and he would get really loud. And so all my formative years were spent hating loud voices. I have memories of being a little kid and just crying on the couch because my parents were fighting. Parents fight. But he was just angry. And it's that some people know that kind of anger that you can feel it. It's not even directed at you and you're scared. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's normal, I don't know, to have a fight or flight response when somebody raises their voice. But guess what? I have it. Fight, flight, or freeze. I want to run, but I usually freeze. And that's how I was raised until I was about 16. And then our life changed. And so he became less angry. I think just different things. And I grew up my whole life being a perfectionist because the best way to avoid anger is to never do anything wrong and to be perfect, which perfectionism makes you anxious because it is impossible to be perfect. It is impossible. To my perfectionist mm-hmm. friends out there, stop fooling yourselves. It is impossible. So I'm anxious. And other things I probably have that are biochemical and genetic. Apparently bipolar disorder runs in my family. So it's not like I'm saying that, you know, loud voices made me bipolar, but I am to this day at almost 40 triggered by loud voices. Now, my reaction when I am triggered by loud voices mm-hmm. and anger has changed over time. It used to be when I was a kid, I would hide. I would run into another room and I would just literally get into a corner so nobody could see me. Or I would burst into tears. And like the kind of tears where you cannot understand the words that I'm saying. I'm not making any coherent sense. I'm just abject sobbing. As I got older, my trigger reaction is to get angry. I screamed like a crazy woman in this house the other day when mm-hmm. when the family was fighting. Because one, nobody would listen to me. And two, because it was like this primal reaction to anger. I was triggered that hard. And so anger stays with you, is my point. And it doesn't just stay with you because you're holding on to anger and you're repressing it and you're not dealing with the things in your relationships that are causing the anger. That is a way. I mean, my father was a clear candidate for that. He had things from his entire life that should make him angry in a time when nobody was talking about mental health and nobody was saying, you know what, maybe you should talk to somebody about this thing that you've experienced and maybe we can help you. And oh, better pain management might help. And oh, you know, access to resources. Like, it's already bad enough in the 21st century, but in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, I promise you, it was even worse. So he had a lot of reason to be angry, but he didn't know how to handle his anger. And accidentally, unknowingly, he passed down that anger in a way that I have had to unlearn things in order to know how to deal with anger directed at me and learn how to be angry at somebody else. So when we are angry in our DS relationships, we are not just hurting ourselves because we're not dealing with our anger. We're not just hurting our relationships because maybe we make a rash decision. We are affecting everything and everybody we touch when that anger is unhealthy and it's undealt with and we're just lashing out because we hurt. I think that most anger probably boils down to pain and hurt, mental pain, emotional mm-hmm. pain, maybe physical pain, but just it's a form of pain. And when we don't deal with that, it can just kind of grow unchecked and we don't even know how we are affecting people. In DS, it is very clear because you can physically hurt somebody because you swung the paddle too hard because you're pissed off. You can mm-hmm. break your relationship because you used your power. And we on both sides of the slash have some level of power here. It's an inequality, there's a balance to the relationship in some ways. When you use your power to get back to the other person, an example that's not even for dominance, it's submissives. If the collar that you wear is important to both of you, but in a moment of anger, you rip it off and go, take it back, I don't care. And you don't really mean that, but you know that will hurt the other person mm-hmm. and you're mad and you want them to hurt the way you hurt. you might have just broken something and you might not be able to get it back. Okay? So that's what anger does, which is part of why I avoid anger at all costs. I can repress it, and I used to, and it's not healthy. For me, my repressed anger feeds on itself and it hurts me. I do lash out, but I am so fearful from what I remember from childhood that the last thing I want is to come at somebody and have them come back at me in anger, because then I can't handle it. So I will usually take it into myself and pretend it doesn't exist until I'm cranky, until I'm bitter, until I'm cynical, but it's all inward. Other people do it the other way. It's all outward, and they repress, and then it explodes everywhere else, and it hurts things you didn't even mean, you didn't want to hurt, like your relationship. So, yeah, I got really heavy and deep there, didn't I?
Yeah.
I am so sorry. For the podcast, we might make a clearer content warning. I didn't go into too many details, but I'm pretty sure anybody who had a rough childhood is like, oh, yes, that. Thank you for helping me remember all of that crap. Yeah, I. The joke is I really do have daddy issues. One day I really need to write about them. I have not. Yeah. I have not processed them all. But I do feel very strongly about anger. And I am still learning how to deal with anger as a natural emotion that is okay to experience.
We all are. It's something we have to learn. Not 2 days after what happened.
With the kid. The drama with the kid.
The drama with the kid, not 2 days later, was he did himself in again.
Because he's 13 and they're stupid at this age.
And, I took a lesson from the time prior and did very differently.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One of the things, I know y'all will be shocked by this, that boy can talk. The apple does not fall far from the tree. He can give his mother a run for her money when it comes to talking.
Yeah, that might be true.
Uh-huh.
It's genetic in my family.
Yes, it is. So, one of the things I did differently was I told him, okay, you have 5 minutes to talk and explain your side.
Well, and I have found with the kid who you just want to go, oh my God, the more he talks, the angrier we all get.
Right.
Like, just, you got to stop talking.
Right. So I told him, I said, you've got 5 minutes, unfettered, talk. I set my alarm on the phone, the timer on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So when the timer goes off, you're done talking, because otherwise he will talk for hours. We have found that out. He literally will go on for hours.
Literally. We do mean actual correct use of the term literal. Literally hours.
Yep.
It's genetic. I don't know what to tell anybody.
So, I did that. I set the timer, hit the button, said go.
You did handle it much better in those interactions. It's like I felt like when I was pointing out your anger and how you had sort of changed, I wanted there to be a difference. Because anger's going to happen, y'all. We're going to get mad. But our anger can perpetuate the fight as well, which is what we were finding with the teenager. So it's like, okay, we have to be calm and rational. And I think this is a good lesson for dominance in general. We have to be calm and rational, even if the other person is flailing over there in their anger, we're not going to get anywhere.
And I think the lesson I took from that is, again, because you pointed it out to me, I did not realize at the time that I had been triggered like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I could just see it in your face.
Scary. After the fact, when we were talking about it, I could see it. I saw, oh my God, yes, this is what happened. That's when it hit, and that's when everything went just south to shit.
Right, because you stopped treating him like the person he was.
Yeah.
You were treating him like the people who had given you these memories. So for longtime listeners and viewers, you have, I'm sure, heard us talk about bad tapes over and over again. We even have an entire episode on bad tapes. Shorthand version, if I can give a shorthand anything, of what bad tapes are. Basically, the memories and experiences you have from, we always say relationships because we talk about DS around here, but from any kind of relationship, parent-child, caregiver, DS, does not matter. Sibling, any relationship you've had with somebody in the past and the way they treated you, the way you treated them, and the way you have feel about that brought forward. And so what's happening is you are interacting with somebody else, completely different person, completely different time, completely different everything, but they do or say something or something about the situation reminds you of that past time. And so you are now reacting to this person in present time because of what we call the bad tapes in your head of what happened last time. So previous child raising drama reared its ugly head, and it's bad enough that, I mean, it, we talk about getting me angry on somebody's behalf. It does. But that's not today's person's fault. And so it's difficult. Sometimes you need an outside person to go, whoa. You are acting like this person, your partner, your submissive, your dominant, your whoever, is that person from three relationships ago. That's not fair to them. And you're not actually helping the system. You're venting your spleen in a way you wanted to do, in your case, 20 years ago, and you couldn't. At the person who doesn't deserve that. You've got to deal with the person in the situation today as it is today, not your memories of what it was. And so that's another thing that, that's in all interactions, that's all emotions, are negative emotions, because we're talking bad tapes. Your bad tapes will rear up. It's that's where a trigger comes from. To make you anxious or to make you angry or to scare you or to whatever. That's, you've got a bad tape of something in your life and it's replaying now in front of you. Where it feels like it's replaying, you feel like you're having this moment again, and now you're reacting even bigger than you would before because you have the memory of the past.
But you know, it just goes to show, it doesn't matter what side of the slash you're on, anyone can be triggered. It can happen to anyone at any time.
And you cannot be expecting it, for sure.
No.
I mean, the one thing I don't love being triggered by loud voices and anger. I mean, it sends me for an absolute mental tailspin when it happens. But I am grateful I recognize it. I know what's happening now. I can't stop how I feel, but I can get control of it. So I want to get off this kind of heavy subject because a really good question came up.
All right.
And, okay, so for chatting live on YouTube, that's a whole like place to hang out. If you never get, if you get a chance to ever watch us live, they don't even need us, y'all. They're just talking to themselves, and it's great conversation. But Benjamin asked a good question, and then Raxleanne sort of came back with a point that is a good point. So the question was, if I'm let me find it, was about that person's submissive wants their dominant to be, and the word used, quote, meaner to them in their play. Now, meaner can be sadistic. It can be humiliation. It can be, you got to.
Different layers.
First thing, always find out exactly what your partner means. I have said that to John Brownstone. Be mean to me.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to talk about in terms of anger. In a consensual scene or in the way you interact with each other, being asked to be mean does not mean, it's not the same as being asked to be angry. John Brownstone is a sadistic motherfucker. He is not angry when he is doing it. So a few things here. There's several things to unpack here. If the only way you can do what you would consider, quote, mean things, that is a really subjective term. You're going to really need to define that term for you and your partner. If you can only do that when you are angry, first of all, don't do it.
Right.
Second of all, that might be a form of play that's not right for you. Okay. Humiliation or pain or some form of harshness with a partner is, there's levels of risk in everything we do, but it's a higher level of risk.
Yeah.
For you and your partner. So the responsibility on a dominant is much greater because they have to take care of their own mental well-being while doing this, and they have to watch out for the physical and mental and emotional well-being of the partner that they are inflicting the meanness on. You, any harsh, mean, Cruel is another word. You're a sadist. Yeah. I like it. When I'm in that headspace, oh, be cruel to me.
Yeah.
But I can ask for that because I know it's not anger. It's a behavior, not an emotion.
And the difference in that is right there. It's not out of anger. I'm going to use humiliation as an example.
Sure.
You love when we are having kinky fuckery, we're having a scene together, and I call you certain names.
Yes, that you would never call me outside of that scene.
And I know what those names and words are that I can safely use with you in those moments. There are other words you just don't ever say that to me one way or the other.
Right. And that is part of communication and negotiation and figuring out what works
but now,
for both of us.
As soon as that scene or the kinky fuckery is done, those words stop.
Right, they're not used outside of that.
Those words, those names are never used outside of the kinky fuckery. They are never anything that is uttered in anger.
No, and none of it should ever be.
No.
You can play act at anger. You can pretend, like part of your scene can be your partner did, quote, something wrong, right? Like they broke a rule to get the punishment, or you're just play acting and you're pretending that they did something, or you're finding some small thing and you're using that as the excuse, but it's all a consensually negotiated scene where both partners understand that nobody's really mad and nobody's really in trouble, but you're going to play this out, right? And in that scenario, you're calling them names you might not normally call them that you hopefully know before you start that they're okay with, that you are doing things to them or making them do things that you know fulfill, or you think you know, because sometimes you don't actually know till you start playing and trying something, that seem to you like that would help them with their humiliation kink, or they want a little degradation, or they want you to be mean. Like classic would be the schoolgirl or school kid, student teacher. I don't want to say schoolgirl because that's gendered. The student teacher.
Right.
Classic scene where they're bent over a desk and they're getting hit with a ruler, or they're having to write lines, or like that's from my perspective, a mild version of that, but that's you being mean and making them do things that are difficult for them or embarrass them inside of like this warm, fuzzy scene that's all about mutual pleasure. But right. I think there are some submissives like myself and maybe Benjamin's partner who really want some level of that. I promise you, we do not know what we want until we figure out what we don't want. Yeah. I can be called all kinds of things. You want to know how I figure that out? By being called the wrong thing and going, nope, don't say that. That's a step too far. So you have to play with it and experiment with it.
Right.
But as the dominant, you have limits here too. So there may be some things you just can't bring yourself to say or bring yourself to do. But it all has to be entered into, at least from the beginning before you're in the scene and you're in the headspace, as something that's meant to be fun. Like, ultimately, it might be difficult. It might be exhausting. You might, use muscles you don't normally use, mental and physical. And it might be boundary pushing in the middle of it, but you're going into it with a sense of anticipation of, hey, we're going to get something we both want out of this moment. And if there are certain words that you just can't say because that's just a step too far for you to be that, quote, mean, because it is maybe too close to anger, or the only way you can say those things is to get angry, no, don't do that, then that's your limit. And you're like, hey, I could do this. I could, there's one that I see. I've had it done to me. It's been years ago. But it's sort of a common trope when people are writing, like, sexy scenes and they're actually writing them down. And it's that inspection thing, right? Like, your submissive is naked, and they were supposed to, if they have a vulva, they were supposed to be wet, right? If they have a penis, they're supposed to be, like, rock hard, but they're supposed to be standing there naked. Maybe they have a blindfold, maybe they don't. And you're going to, quote, inspect them. I have been inspected by two partners, and it's hot as fuck. But there is an element of humiliation, right? Like, you're staying there exposed. And
On display.
And the dominant partner is setting expectations. Oh, are you going to be this? Or are you going to be that? And there's a bit of imagination that has to go into it. I'm a big believer in stealing story ideas, okay? Read you some erotica and go, oh, does that turn you on, partner? We'll try that one. Don't come up with new dialogue. Read a freaking, well, maybe not read it, but borrow a script, okay? Borrow the words from somebody else if you don't know what to say to get that mean thing going, to get that faux anger. It's not really anger. You just sound like you're saying harsh things, because then you get to go to the punishment part where you touch your partner in a way that they're not expecting. Oh, another one that I read that's on the humiliation side is anal for some people is very much a humiliation degradation kind of thing, because the back door is not, for some people, a very common place, and it's embarrassing to bend over and show off your asshole to a partner. You know, or to have them put your plug in, or like there's all kinds of stuff. I think a lot of people think they're supposed to reinvent the wheel when their partner says, be mean, be cruel, be, you know, make me do things I don't really want to do. No, go out and explore the smutty, smutty world of erotica porn, whatever, right? And then borrow dialogue that sounds good to both of you and try what you're reading, or try what other people are trying. Do not think you have to like magically find the exact right words. But what you do have to do is do that constant back and forth of checking in, because you won't know, and neither will your partner sometimes. Yeah. You will not know what is a step too far, what triggers them, what brings back a bad memory, what hurts them in a way they are not trying to be hurt. Mm-hmm. Sometimes until you say it, and sometimes until you try that thing out, and then you have to back off and you have to deal with that. But yes, when I have asked for cruelty before, I have asked for meanness, I have asked for hurt me daddy. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's a fun thing to say. I have absolutely asked for those things. But the reason I can ask for them is they in no way come from a place of anger. Right. They come from a place of mutual joy that allow John Brownstone to push against his own boundaries. Like, how far is he willing to go to give me what I'm asking for? And that's the thing for both sides. So submissive says, be mean, be cruel, you know, hurt my feelings, or however they say it, right? You're going to try and push their boundaries to find what's okay to do. Your boundaries are being pushed too. If you are uncomfortable saying things because society has told you're not supposed to say those things, there's a choice you make. Are you going to say, screw that, I'll try it anyway? Or are you going to go, I can only go this far, right? We talk a lot about submissives having their boundaries expanded. Like, I went through this. Almost every submissive I've ever met has gone through some version of this. In the very beginning, first DS relationship, first kinky scene, you go through that list of what you will do, what you won't do, what, no, I'm not touching that. Well, go back through that list 6 months later, and that submissive is likely to go, oh, those things on my no list? Yeah, let's add those to the yes list. I'll try those now. Because there's been time and experience and trust and communication, and maybe you've formed a relationship with somebody that you know how you can play with them. The same is true for a dominant. So if you got somebody who's telling you to be mean, do it within your boundaries. And then as time and experience go on, then you can push those boundaries and discover what you're comfortable doing as well. But none of that comes from anger. And it should never feel like anger. To me, it always... So anger can be hot or cold. My anger tends to be pretty cold. I know other people whose anger is like just fiery hot. But for me, when I'm getting sadistic cruelty from John Brownstone, it does feel very... maybe cold isn't even the right word. It's dispassionate because he's not angry.
Yeah.
It's a very calm, measured thing, which anger almost never is. It might seem calm. It might seem measured. It's not really. It's still anger. It's a very calm, measured thing. So that would be the difference on that specific issue when somebody is, you're talking about being cruel or mean or... pretending that you're angry, because literally that's what you need to do, is to pretend you're angry and hopefully have the ability not to accidentally actually get yourself angry while you're pretending. So, okay. I think that, I mean, we could talk forever about it, apparently.
Yeah.
Clearly I've got thoughts. For the live folks, I hope I didn't go too deep. If my content warning was not strong enough, please let me know so I can make it stronger for other people. There are a lot of, every emotion is important. Every emotion will affect and impact your DS relationship, your any relationship you have. But anger can be the most dangerous and the most detrimental. And we all have to find our path on this. We all have to figure out, are we handling our anger in healthy ways? Are we not? Are we in relationships with people who are not handling their anger in healthy ways? From my own personal perspective, the first time you're in a relationship with somebody who handles their anger in a healthy way, his name is John Brownstone, it's freaking weird. Because I was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you being so calm about this? Aren't we supposed to like either give each other the silent treatment or scream at one another? Isn't this how this is supposed to work? He was like, actually, no, that's not. Some people are able to handle it and get better about their anger on their own. You read books, you follow people, you try new things, you whatever. And some of us need help. And there's no shame in needing help about anything. Y'all know I have no problem, you know, screaming about how go see a therapist or take medication or whatever you need to do that you have access to. And in the kink world, in many places, you can find a kink aware or kink friendly therapist. I will, in the show notes for this, I will link to that. I think they might be a resource on the lovingbdsm.net
I believe they
website,
are.
But I'll put them in the put the link in the show notes too. And that's where we find all our kink aware professionals.
Right.
Just about.
It is a fantastic resource to have available.
But if you feel like either you or your partner or both of you, sometimes it is both of you, are not handling your anger well, you might need help to figure out what is the right thing for you and maybe why you handle anger the way you do and what you can do about it going forward and how you can keep your relationship solid and healthy. Because I will tell you, our biggest thing is communication, right? We tell you all the time, you can't do shit if you're not communicating about it. And of course, then there's consent. But if there's a third thing, it is knowing how to deal with anger, because you're gonna make each other angry. We've done all the episodes of all kinds of ways you can make each other angry. But if you can't deal with your anger in a way that's productive and at least just not unhealthy, then your relationship will not last, or at least it will not be a healthy, happy one. And if that's what you're going for, and we think if you're at a place called Loving BDSM, you would like a happy, healthy relationship, that's one of those things you're going to have to figure out how to handle. And you might have to handle it differently with every partner you have, because we are all unique individuals. You know, I know I can do tough love claws with John Brownstone when his anger goes a little too far and it's a little too much and he's not being rational anymore. And he knows that he can sometimes tease me out of it, or he can sometimes go, we're sitting down right now and you are going to tell me what's going on and we are going to talk about this. Right. You have to figure out how you handle each other and how you handle other people. So get help if you
need to. And we've done in the past too, where we've said, okay, we need to stop talking about this right now. We need to back away, calm down, think everything over, and talk about it later when we're more rational.
Yeah, and my anxiety hates that, but my rational side understands it. So it's a fun balance. I think that is it for today. We have probably a brief bonus section, nothing too major, because it's same shit different day, lots of boxes surrounding us. You can't see them
but they're
on a podcast
here,
or even in the video, but they're
all around us.
They're everywhere.
So
there's no need to bitch for 20 minutes about that, because we did that last week,
right?
But we'll do a short bonus section. So if you're new here, every once in a while I feel like I need to like put an explainer in. If you are new here, the topic is done. You can go about your whole life. If you somehow think we are fascinating to watch, a little bit like zoo animals, stick around, because now we're just going to bitch about life that has nothing to do with DS.
Right.
And to all of our regular crickets, we're so happy you are here.
Yes.
Because we love you.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if you are the type of person who stays through to the bitter, bitter end, you are known as a cricket. You can call yourself a proud cricket.
Yeah.
I did not make up that name. I made up the cricket thing. But I believe it was Little Panda Kitten. A couple of longtime listeners came up with Proud Cricket. And hashtag Proud Cricket.
Yep.
So that's a thing too. So yes, we need to do the bonus section.
Okay.
So do you remember how we actually
are we
do
good?
This? As good as we are ever going to get.
Okay.
Keep it
kinky.
Damn it! I took a breath like I always do. Oh, for our live viewers, we love you so much. Can we try this again?
All right, let's try
that
it again.
That was a little bit like performance problems, if you know what I mean.
Performance anxiety.
No, there's no anxiety. That was, we jumped off the cliff and there was no net yep. to catch us. Okay, okay. Are we going to try this again?
Let's try again. Are we good?
I don't know. Probably not.
Are we good?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Keep it
kinky, y'all.
Fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it on the podcast. Fuck it. We love y'all. Keep it kinky. Oh my God. What? I don't know. I don't know, y'all. I don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't know. I have no words. I just, if you're new, it is not like that. Holy wow. shit. And oh, I love it. All the people who are like, hashtag Proud Croquette. Yes. And I say all the people, podcast listeners, I'm so sorry. All the people in the YouTube chat. If the YouTube chat sounds like the place to be to a podcast listener, I'm just telling y'all, Thursdays. We do this on Thursdays. Wow. That was... And it's not like we haven't had coffee.
I know.
I don't know what happened there, y'all. I know. Okay, so what's going on with us? Boxes and more fucking boxes and so many goddamn boxes. So tired yeah. of boxes.
And Benjamin asked a good question. He goes, is their coffees our love language, Merc?
We had a little bit. We have a Redbubble store that yes. has been sort of neglected. Uh-huh. We do have coffee is our love language, mugs, I think shirts. I know we have Proud Cricket stuff, but I don't remember. Quite frankly, I need somebody who would just like take over that store because we are not take over it. Like we want our store, but
yeah.
our China Doll helped us with the graphics, but I'd like to do an update with the graphics. China Doll, if you're mm-hmm. listening, feel free to, if you got time, but anybody else too. Like part of me thinks like, wouldn't it be cool to do like fan art, but we've never gotten fan art. So that probably yeah. shouldn't ask for that.
But we do have a Redbubble page.
Yeah. And it's linked at lovingbdsm.net. And I would like to update stuff.
Yeah.
I would like to add stuff, not get rid of what we've got, but add new stuff with new designs. But I don't do graphics. I'm doing words over here, y'all. Clear, written and spoken, but I do not do graphics, and I can't right. afford to keep somebody who does graphics like constantly working. So it's just, but we do, but we'd like more. So that was the really long answer for Benjamin's question about yeah. is there merch? There is merch. Redbubble store. You can go to redbubble.com and search Loving BDSM. We typically come up. I don't think we're like way restricted. You probably will have to click a button that says, sure, I don't mind seeing sensitive content. Or just go to lovingbdsm.net. We have it linked, I think under the support us yeah. or whatever. And I would love to have more merchandise. I would love to make merchandise like a regular thing, but we don't have graphic skills.
No.
Or time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, coffee is our love language. Proud Cricket. Loving BDSM, because I do like to put our logo on every fucking thing. I just probably get a tattoo of it at some point, quite frankly.
All right.
I can't believe I just said I would get a tattoo of my own logo. That's... I would, though. I'm going to put it out there. Eliana says, maybe you should ask for fan art. I would probably submit my own. Hey, anybody who wants to submit fan art, you go right on ahead. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know anything about it. We have gotten what I would call a piece of fan art before because it was a picture that we took and posted on my website and probably Instagram. And one of our followers, who is an artist, did a pencil drawing of it. It was yes, freaking beautiful. Beautiful. And as soon as we have an office, I'm going to get a little itty bitty frame for it. And it's going be up. Yep. Yes.
It's beautiful.
And I do have a picture from somebody else who drew a mermaid yes. for me, which is amazing. Again, need the office. Mm-hmm. No, it's been a typical week for us.
It's been a crazy week.
When I say typical, I mean that one, we have had no drama so far, knock on wood.
No.
And two, typical in our new typical of we live in chaos because we're trying to move.
Yeah. It's been
same shit, different day.
Mm-hmm. It's been tough for me because I am used to things being a certain way. I'm not going to go far as saying that I like things. What's that term? Feng shui.
Feng shui. Yeah.
You know, everything in its place and a place for everything,
sure,
so to speak.
Sure.
And that is just thrown out the window.
And
right
I would
now.
Say some of that's feng shui, but feng shui has other stuff to go with it. I'm sure other people can explain it better. But you do like things tidy.
Yes.
And you are the king of having a routine. Like So I have a routine because I am anxious, and this is a mitigating thing to make me less anxious. If I know what's happening, I can't worry about what's happening, if you know what I mean. He is perfectly mentally healthy. A therapist told him so. And his routine, mess up his routine? Who is the baby girl in this relationship? I don't know. We have messed up John Brownstone's routine, and he is stomping his feet, pouting, and not happy. And sounds like he can use a nap.
You folks have no idea how happy I am that the day of this recording, all these boxes around the house are going to be put into a van.
Yeah.
I am living for that moment right now.
Yeah. I was thinking we're taking a little road trip to where we're going to be, the city we're going to be moving to.
Yeah.
We're recording on Thursday, so on Friday. We're getting a cargo van because we didn't need a big moving truck for this. We're loading it up, and then we're driving to a storage unit, and we're getting rid of all our clutter, right? I was considering making a vlog of the day, which we need to start tonight so people can see
our
boxes.
We kind of changed that plan a little bit because the original plan was that I was going to throw stuff in the back of my SUV and make several trips.
His RAV4, y'all. It's a decent vehicle. It is not the big SUV.
No. It's not like a Yukon or Expedition.
And even a Yukon
like
could not hold all this crap we've got.
And after we saw really all the stuff that we started packing up, when you mentioned a van, my eyes kind of lit up like Christmas lights.
Well, we thought we were going to do a trailer, a hook.
Yeah,
a
hookup.
Because you have the hookup, but you don't have power to the hookup.
When I bought my RAV4, one of the things that made me choose that, because they had several to choose from at the time, was that there was a trailer hitch on the car. And in my excitement, I never bothered, and I never used it, but in my excitement, I never bothered to see if there was a wiring harness with it.
Right.
And there is not a wiring harness.
So we cannot tow a trailer because we can't turn the lights on a trailer. So we were like, oh, well, what can we do? So yeah, we're going to do a little road trip tomorrow. Just the two of us. The boys will be in school.
Yep.
Thank goodness. God love them. And we're going to load it up tonight, the van. We're going to coffee up in the morning. We're going to go and do manual labor. And I will whine throughout it.
Yes.
Because that is what I do. Then we will eat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We will
oh,
eat.
Yeah. There,
and
there
then
will
we
be
will
food.
Come home tomorrow.
Yeah. Yep.
So here's how I look at life. Coffee, Diet Coke for me. So this could be anything for you. Coffee, Diet Coke, and a meal are the best carrots at the end of the episode. So if you want me to do something difficult, one of those three things needs to be the prize at the end. And whether it is a coffee, a Diet Coke for me, or a meal needs to be linked to how big that thing is, right? So like a Diet Coke, I'll do little things, and a Diet Coke's exact, like I had to do a lot of errand running this week. There were lots of appointments, therapy, my hair, it's back to its normal color if you can see me on the video, all kinds of little things. And I had to pick up the kids from school, and I don't usually do that anymore. Well, the way I got myself out the door without being bitter about it, I stopped either for a Diet Coke or a coffee. And on the one that I knew I had to make that run and that errand, it was a Diet Coke because I had already planned for it. On the ones that were unplanned and in the middle of my day, I found out I would be the one driving to the place and doing the thing, that was a coffee. See, it's about scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's degrees of annoyance.
Yeah.
A little annoyance, Diet Coke.
And see,
larger
Eliana,
annoyance, coffee.
Eliana said it best. Lots of coffee. Absolutely,
well,
lots of coffee.
I have found I have a limit on coffee drinking.
True.
Well, I really have a limit on caffeine.
Yeah.
So I try really hard. Thursdays being probably the biggest exception because we record and we drink coffee while we're recording. I try to limit my caffeine intake. Once about 2 o'clock in the afternoon hits, if I drink anything that's supposed to not have caffeine, it's like decaf. So caffeine-free Diet Coke, decaf coffee, sad coffee, which still has some level of caffeine, but at such a low level, it's not as bad. But lately, I've just been drinking coffee all day, even at like 8 o'clock at night. I'm like, oh, let's get a regular full octane coffee. And then I'm wondering why I can't sleep at night.
Why you're staring at the ceiling.
I'm officially that person who at a certain point I have to cut off my caffeine or I don't sleep well. Yeah. So, and I did not used to be that person. So I'm blaming age. That's just what I'm blaming. I'm blaming age. You used to not be that person, and you have those issues now.
I've had to slow down. I used to be able to drink up until a couple of years ago. I used to be able to drink coffee right up until the minute I went to sleep.
Yep.
And I could just like pound it down, go to bed, close my eyes, and I'd be out.
Yeah, you're not like that anymore.
No.
No. Age.
No.
You're old. I love you, Daddy.
I have a batch of new canes sitting on the bed. That I would just love to try out.
I don't think I consent to that, Daddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love you, Daddy.
You say that now.
I'll pay for it later. It was kind of worth it right now, but I'll pay for it later.
Yeah.
No, yeah, our caffeine can... But with everything going on, we've both been drinking a ton more coffee. But
we've been drinking a lot more coffee.
So yeah, tomorrow, road trip, we coffee up first.
Yep.
We do the work. Yep. I get a meal because I'll be sweaty tomorrow. I do not like to sweat, okay? I am that person who's like, that sounds like manual labor. No. but I will do it for a good cause. So, yeah, but we'll have our condo back, essentially, when we get back.
Pretty much.
It won't be so cluttered.
Exactly. And I am so looking forward to that. Plus, depending on how well we pack the van, a lot of my tools.
Yeah, it's been very sad. The shop is down. The physical shop is down for right now.
Right, till the equipment gets relocated.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So, yeah, just the same stuff going on. Mm-hmm. This move is our life for at least the next six or 7 weeks.
Oh, the one exciting thing that did happen this week, we got the new dishwasher installed.
Oh, gosh.
Finally.
We're leaving in like 7 weeks and we finally got a new dishwasher.
Yeah.
Because that dishwasher was so freaking old, nobody was going to buy it. It was original to when the condos were built in the 80s.
84
y'all.
It was,
84.
Yeah.
35 years. I know how old I was in 84. 35 years ago. So yeah, we finally, we bought the condo going, we will replace that. And we did not replace that.
No.
And now we're like, oh crap. I don't want somebody to come in here and go, oh, I want to knock $5,000 off the price because your kitchen is.
Well, the crazy thing about it, we bought it on clearance.
Oh, yeah.
And
$200.
A really, really good price.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that clearance price that we've got was way less than half of what it would have originally cost.
Oh, yeah.
But having bought it on clearance.
We can't get it installed.
The place we bought it from would not do the install like they normally would on a regular appliance. So I'm thinking, no problem. We'll find somebody.
Or we thought we'd do it ourselves. I was like, oh, there's YouTube videos. We'll just YouTube it and we'll figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How long did it sit there waiting to be installed?
2.5 weeks.
Yeah. And the first handyman we talked to went, oh, no, my liability insurance won't let me touch anything with plumbing, which I respect. I would prefer that people work within their confines so that they stay safe, too. The second person we called was like, oh, that'll be like $300. No. And it was the third person who gave us a price. We were like, okay, sure. And then it took, 3 days to get them here?
Yeah.
They were like, we're coming today. They did not come that day. We're coming tomorrow. They didn't.
Heather, I am amazed it lasted that long, too.
Oh, God, yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. 30-plus years on a dishwasher. Now, did it actually get anything clean? I'm glad there was no lab testing on that because I'm not sure.
Ms. Bubbles, mile-wise, I'm not sure the miles, but it's about a 2.5-hour drive from where we are currently.
Yeah.
So... And Ben, you know what? I watched some videos on how to do it, and technically it wasn't that difficult, and I have the tools to do it. My problem is that through all this stress and everything that has been going on,
Your back is out.
My back is out.
He's walking around like an old man.
And I'm walking around like an old man, and some days I can barely get out of the chair. So laying on the floor to do all the plumbing and the electrical, I could not do.
And then, because I was starting to get desperate, I was like, here's what we'll do. Me and the 13-year-old, we will do the work. You stand over us and tell us what to do. And it sounded really good in my head. And then I said it out loud. And then I saw John Brownstone's expression. I went, oh, that would never happen.
No.
We would all hate each other. And there would still be no dishwasher.
Exactly. Exactly. So I have seen you with tools. I mean, you are my lovely assistant when we do work.
I'm there for my looks, not my abilities.
Okay. And you do great when I ask, you know, hand me the pliers, hand me the wrench.
He's making it sound like he can tell me the name of a tool, and I go, oh, it is this one. No,
hand me that.
Which color is the one? The blue handle. Is that the dark blue handle or the light blue handle? Is it this one? That's me. Yeah. Lovely assistant. Yeah. I am there for my looks. That is all.
The only thing they didn't get done with the dishwasher was the kick plate.
Yeah.
And
you handled that just fine.
And I handled it just fine. But in order to do that, I had to get down on the floor, and I almost didn't get back up just from putting the kick plate back on.
Well, and see, the thing is, I know I act like I'm a delicate flower. I'm not. And I act like I'm helpless. We all know I'm not. I would. I still remember in my single days between husbands. Oh, that sounds awful. When I was between husbands, I had to fix things around my place all the time. So, like, I replaced a part in my dryer one time. YouTube and being able to read instructions and figuring out the tools, that was the hardest part. So I know we are capable of doing some things, but I am at a point in my life where I will pay for convenience. Now, I know that's a massive privilege. Not everybody can do that. And for many, 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 many years of my life, I could never do that. I can now. And so when I can, I am happy to keep the economy moving forward by paying a small business some money to do a thing for me. I am very happy to do that.
Oh, I when we moved in here, I put in all new light switches.
We
wired
all
in all the plugs, the light fixtures, fans, all that stuff.
We didn't replace the toilet, but we fixed the toilet. We took the toilet out, put it back in.
Put it back in.
We've done all kinds of stuff. I'll pay for it now. Thank you.
Yeah, certain things I've learned through life. Too, what helps if you have the right tools for the right job makes a big difference too.
Yes. Oh, well, this is not going to devolve into a tool conversation, is it?
No.
Okay, good. So we have rambled.
Yes, we
way
have.
Longer than I thought we would. I do want to do belatedly our Patreon shout out. Our kinky patrons are some of the fucking best. I just y'all. I love all y'all who show up and listen to us or watch us. I just do. Like, you don't have to give me money for me to love you, but I'm not gonna lie. Love me some kinky patrons. But our shout out patrons for this week are. Uh-huh. Still not sure if I'm saying. I think she said I said it right. Lorana, Kalina, and Jay. Who Jay is the conduit of queerness itself.
I love that name.
I know. So thank you all. Thank you for watching. Thank
we
you for listening.
You all being
thank you for
here
downloading
and listening and hanging out with us.
Thank you for becoming patrons. Thank you for messaging us. Thank you for the things that you do to be part of our kinky community.
And all the support and love you give us. It's wonderful. Amazing.
I will tell you, and I will not go into it. It's tail end. Y'all's love and support and just sort of general acceptance of us being the goofballs we are makes it way easier to ignore mean YouTube comments, and that's all I'm going to say about that. All right. I wasn't going to get into it. If I'd wanted to do that, I'd have done it at the beginning.
No, okay.
Yeah, no.
All right,
I ranted on Twitter. I'm fine now.
Okay.
So, no, we do need to go, though, because we've got another video to make.
Uh-huh.
Second week in a row, we're doing another sex toy.
Yes.
And it's not really about me. It's about you.
Yeah.
I know. So, that'll be out on Monday.
And anyway, my rental period on my coffee is over, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Anybody who knows that expression, I'm sorry. Really? Let us say goodbye to all these lovely people.
Yes.
And if you're new, yes, it is like this every time. We are so sorry. Okay, we love you guys.
Love you. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye.